Thank you so much, Gloria, for your service. Thank you, everyone who's doing service in the background to help the meeting run and be safe for us. My name is Melissa. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, sugar addict, night and emotional eater. I figured I would qualify really briefly and then I'm going to talk about how I use the tools in my daily life while being a person with a chronic illness, because I really have found over the last year and a half being in the program that while I still need to work all the tools and I need to take the suggestions, but sometimes those suggestions and tools look a little different. So really quickly before I start, I just want to do a quick prayer to invite my higher power in and speak through me, to speak according to our spiritual principles, help me be a servant of their will, so that this message may truly be theirs, not mine. Okay, so I've been in OA for about a year and a half. Like I said, I just celebrated a year of very imperfect abstinence. Thank you. And as someone with a chronic illness, my program has evolved and continues to evolve on a daily basis. When I came into the fellowship, I came in from another program, another fellowship, so I had a higher power. I thought I knew what it meant to work a program, to use the tools. And I was also very, very resentful of some of the tools that we use, like the Big Book. And so I didn't do a lot right away. I just went to meetings. You know, I went to 90 meetings in 90 days, a meeting a day for 90 days. And I saw people recovering. You know, I saw people using a lot of different tools, you know, using the Big Book, working the steps through the OA 12 and 12. And I also saw a lot of different conceptions of a higher power, right? But I knew I didn't want to work through that Big Book, and I was really resistant to it. So it took me about 6 months for me to try doing things my way, right? To pick and choose what I wanted to do. Not really wanting to do the work, right? And then I started seeing people who came in after I did recover, and these entire psychic changes happening. And I realized that the baby steps that I was taking towards getting abstinent were used up, and there was nothing left for me to do except for getting abstinent. And so I found a sponsor, and my abstinence date is December 1st. And I had a bit of a difficult time at the very start with entire abstinence, because, you know, the Big Book talks about, you know, figuring out what foods and food behaviors trigger your physical allergy and your mental twist. And I knew that I was addicted to sugar. You know, sugar had been something that I have gone to for an effect longer than I went to drugs, right? And I came into the fellowship thinking drugs were my only issue and the food was coming after. And I found out really quickly that the food had been there my whole life. You know, the food had been there since I was a child. And I noticed really quickly that I got an effect from it. But sugar is also in medications I take, you know, and there's no other option for me, right? And so I really struggled and with you know, believing that I was abstinent, you know, and a lot of those first few months were, you know, just faking it till I made it, you know, believing what the literature said, that if we work this to the best of our ability, we will recover. And as I went through the steps, you know, and as my conception of a higher power developed, I realized that, you know, the conception of a higher power that I believe in wouldn't want me to harm myself in one way to be abstinent, because not taking those medications would be harmful, right? And so that's really where my program started to change a little bit. My sponsor is somebody who's able-bodied, and You know, I'm so grateful for her. You know, she's done so much for me. She's been a huge support. But I quickly found that I needed a community like this. I needed to be around people that also had chronic illnesses, you know, that understood that, yes, sometimes I can push myself and do things when I'm tired, but sometimes I can't, right? And I needed to have, I needed to hear other people that were working a program like this, you know, for me to be able to see that, yes, working this to the best of my ability is okay. Right. And just because my ability may look different on different days or may look different from someone else's doesn't mean that I'm not working to the best of my ability. And so the steps, you know, doing my first set of steps was very eye-opening, you know, allowing me to see, you know, where I was perpetuating, you know, survival instincts, where I was continuing to play the victim, and where I had some, and I hesitate to say this word, but control, right? Where I had some choices, you know, and also where I had too much control, right? And where I was like, just needing to have control and to the point of a defect, right? And so what it looks like now for me, my program in the sense of the 9 tools, and I really wanted to talk like this because I use all the 9 tools, and our literature talks about using them on a daily basis. And for me, I've had to switch that word daily to regular, right? I have a goal to reach to work the program, the tools every day, but sometimes I can't, right? Sometimes I can't get on the phone, right? And so in terms of my plan of eating is something I work every day. You know, at first this used to be the only tool that I worked every day because I knew I needed to, right? In the beginning, I needed to have a solid abstinence. I needed to have a solid, foundation. And that was helped out by a nutritionist, and, you know, by talking to other fellows, right? In terms of like a plan of eating and my chronic illness, you know, there are things in my plan of eating that I can have, that I can make really quickly, right? That maybe somebody who was able-bodied wouldn't consider reasonable. And that's been one of those things too, that I've had to surrender, right? In terms of sponsorship, I know I kind of talked a little bit about this, but, you know, my sponsor was very, one of the things that she had me do at first that I'm so grateful for was to build a God squad, right? Build a support network, build a you know, your own personal army of recovering people that can be there for you, you know, because I love my sponsor and she's done a lot for me, but she's always not always there, right? And having that group to go to and also having her to go to have been really important, right? And also, you know, in terms of being flexible, right? One of the things that that I really don't like is rescheduling. You know, it really bothers me because it reminds me of being in my disease, right? And it's been really important for me to have, you know, a sponsor that is understanding, right? And have, you know, people in my support group that, you know, even if I'm anxious as hell that one of these times they're going to turn around and say, no, you can't reschedule, you're a bad friend. Like, they're never going to do that, right? So next meetings, yeah, I talked a little bit about this too, but just how important it is to find a meeting that you identify with, that you feel home in, and that you can go to on a regular basis. You know, like when I miss this meeting, people text me, you know, and when other people miss this meeting that are here all the time, I text them, right? For me, like, my disease is really insidious, right? Like, it can crop up without my noticing, you know, and recently it did, you know, it cropped up in the sense that I thought that I was, you know, compartmentalizing to be able to make it through and to be able to deal with my program, and that I only needed to talk to, you know, my support group about program stuff, not about life stuff, right? And it took a good friend sitting me down and saying, look, that's not true. You know, really, really look at that. Look at what you're telling yourself. Is that healthy? You know, you, practice these principles in all these affairs, right? Like, and I need that. And the only way I get that is by going to meetings and making these connections and, you know, putting in the time and I'll talk about service in a second, and the service, right? To be seen. I've never been as seen as I am in this fellowship, right? Even coming in from another, like the people and the way that this fellowship values each person that is here and values the service and the opportunity and the experience that we can give to each other is huge. And that really comes from our meetings, right? Telephone, in terms of the telephone. And I love that this tool says call, text, and email, right? And I am a huge proponent of outreach. You know, I am somebody who was told to do 3 calls a day every day when I started working the steps. And I can't do that, right? Like there are some days where I can do 3 calls and it's amazing and it spiritually feeds me, right? And then there are other days where, you know, my 3 calls are maybe 5-minute phone calls, right? Or it's one, right? It's 1 5-minute phone call, you know? And I've also learned to accept, right, those days where I cannot communicate, but also to recognize, okay, if there are too many of those days in a row, this is something your disease is going to latch onto. So be vigilant, right? That's the trade-off for me, right? Like I may need to, you know, put my health, my physical health first in one sense, but then I need to also make that up, right? In this spiritual, you know, the spiritual health that I get from connecting with you all on the phone, you know, texts are what got me here. You know, when I came into the program, I was not willing to pick up the phone whatsoever, you know, and so texts got me here. I hear people say a lot that texts aren't the same, and I agree they're not, but I also think they're a beautiful bridge that can be built, you know, to get somebody to the point where they're ready to pick up the phone. You know, for me, it's so much easier to pick up the phone with somebody I've been texting than it is to just pick up the phone to a, not a stranger, because I don't think we're all strangers here. We're all working towards the same goal, but to somebody I haven't spoken to before, right? But I have learned by, you know, by gritting my teeth and doing it, by, you know, picking up the phone and on a regular basis, there's a spiritual experience that happens there when, you know, two compulsive eaters are talking to each other, you know, just wanting to support each other. There's something higher powered there. So it's all about balance, right? For me, it's all about balance. Don't do too much of anything. Don't rest too much. Don't do too much service. Don't do too much phone. Don't, you know, but also don't do none, right? You still need to do some of it as much as I am able to, right? Writing. Writing is a tool that I have used my whole life. I feel weird when I say this, but I'm a writer, I'm a poet. And it's something that I did all through my addiction. I did all through my, you know, compulsive eating. And coming into this program and seeing it like as a tool was really special, because one of the best things for my program is journaling and putting my thoughts on paper. There's a beautiful practice in this fellowship called two-way prayer, where, you know, it's this call and response with you and your higher power. And it's done so much for me in terms of being able to hear, you know, hear the clarity in my thoughts and not the disease. Right. And literature, I know I'm probably coming up on time, so I'm going to speed through these last two. Our literature is amazing. I am somebody who reads like, I don't know, 6 daily readers a day. And again, like outreach, I think our literature is a channel and a bridge to a higher power, to hearing a message, to hearing, you know, hearing our message, hearing our program, you know, our program of living is written in our literature, right? I love how the tool says insight into our disease and the experience, strength, and hope that there is a solution for us. Action plan. So for me, my plan of eating and my action plan go together. This is one of those things where I do this every day, even if it's like 3 words to plan my next day. It's one of those things where I need to have my action plan and my plan of eating, right? And I feel grateful that I've been in the fellowship long enough that I have kind of a I have a routine, right? And if I don't feel like doing an action plan for the next day, then I can just use the one I did for the previous day, right? And so these two tools, if you're new, I really recommend looking into even just taking the program out of it, you know, creating a routine and an action plan for my life as somebody with a chronic illness has really enabled
gentle
me.
Gentle reminder. Thanks.
Yay. Thank you. Okay. Has really enabled me to be able to do things in my life, like get different kinds of treatment, do programs. You know, I just was able to apply for a disability tax credit that I just received news that I'm eligible for. And I could have never done that without using all these tools, but especially action plan, right? You know, I there's a lot of things that this program has allowed me to do that I could have never done if I hadn't taken them like baby step by baby step. And for me, that's through making an action plan. Anonymity, the foundation of all our traditions, right? And this one is really special to me, you know, especially as we do service, right? You know, it doesn't matter who we are outside these rooms. No one is better. No one is worse. No one has less or more value. You know, we all bring something to the table that can help both one another and the still suffering compulsive eater. And also, you know, that we don't carry outside of the rooms what we say here, right? Like as somebody with a chronic illness, like they're, you know, like I'm not doing that great right now, right? Like I am struggling. This is a hard time of year, you know, a lot of stuff is coming up that doesn't usually come up, you know, like I didn't say this at the beginning, I struggle with both physical, cognitive and mental illness. The two that are really giving me issues right now are fibromyalgia and my complex post-traumatic stress disorder, right? And without the ability to be anonymous, to come in here and be like, look, I just need to spew all of this stuff because it's going to kill me if I don't get it out, is so special. You know, I know that being, you know, a compulsive eater is difficult. It's not fun, but we are really lucky to have the space where that is honored, right? That anonymity, that ability to come in and just be who we are and to get help and not worry about, you know, it affecting our life in a negative way. Right? I think service is the last one. It is. Service is huge for me. It's I've been called several times a service junkie. Service is the first tool, I think, other than going to meetings that I really started doing. You know, it started with group service, you know, reading the script, you know, being a co-host, and then it went into intergroup service, right? Doing service on committees. I was really privileged to be able to go to Region this year, Region's virtual assembly. And that was a beautiful experience, right? Like it services, I think, one of those things that really humanizes both me and everybody else, right? And it makes me see that we're all human and we all just want to make our meetings and our fellowship a better place, right? And we want to give back what was here when we got here, right? And really quickly, because I know my time's winding down, for me, I can be, you know, I can take service and twist it, and I can make it into a defect, into, you know, doing too much service and not, you know, not doing enough step work, or maybe not doing enough to take care of my physical health. And it's one of those things where, again, I have to look at it with balance, right? And with intention. And, you know, no act of service is too small, right? And if you're new and you don't know about service, or you're not sure, or you're, you know, don't know how to get started, like just the simple act of raising your hand and reading a service, right? The act of being in a meeting and sharing is service, right? That idea of I can't keep this unless I give it away, right? So I'm sure I'm close to the end of my time. I really hope that I said something that that helped, that connected with anyone. I'm grateful for this opportunity because it really does get me out of self. The message that I want to leave is, you know, life is life, right? Life is hard sometimes. Life is a struggle, but I am clean, right? And I am abstinent, and I am getting through the day without doing harm. And if I'm not, if I don't, I can tell and I can amend it right away and I can apologize. And, you know, I don't need to engage in my compulsive food behaviors to get through the day, right? And because of that, I can show up differently. And even if I don't show up differently, right, I can act authentically, right? And I can feel my feelings, right? Even if they're not fun to feel, I can still do it, right? And I do, you know, and I want to do that now. You know, I couldn't say that, you know, 4 years ago when I came into 12-step programs, but I can now. And it's a blessing and a privilege to have been able to share with you all today. Thank you for allowing me to speak, and I love you all.